Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This episode of The Takeaway is supported by Stitcher Smart Radio. Now podcast listeners can access the latest episodes of The Takeaway and PRI's other shows while on the go without downloading or syncing with Stitcher Smart Radio. Thousands of popular podcasts and programs are available on demand. Stitcher instantly delivers new episodes of your favorite shows to your mobile phone without syncing or downloading. Stitcher Smart Radio can be found in the iPhone or Android app stores or at stitcher.com/takeaway.
Think back now. I mean way back.
1984. Economic statistics from the latest recession show blacks and Latinos may have erased gains going back to 1984.
Remember what you were making back in 1984?
Not much.
What you were wearing?
Ugh.
Yikes, would you ever want to go back there? Back to 1984 and the people who had no choice in the matter, economically speaking. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to take a look at economic pain and possible political blame from those setbacks we talked about a moment ago. It's Wednesday, July 27th.
Let's talk first, though, about political divide in Washington. It turns out it's House Republicans who can't agree. A vote on House Speaker John Boehner's plan to raise the debt ceiling was postponed last night because it doesn't have enough Republican support. The Tea Party faction in the House says they won't vote for it. That's because the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office said the plan would save $150 billion less than advertised. Speaker Boehner will try to resell the plan to his splintered caucus today.
I would ask all of my colleagues, both Democrats and Republicans, to look at this common sense plan, this common sense way forward that will avoid default and put America's fiscal house back in order.
But even if John Boehner can squeeze out enough votes, Majority Leader Harry Reid says the plan is dead on arrival in the Senate.
Democrats will not vote for it. Democrats will not vote for it. Democrats will not vote for it.
But will they vote for it? The time is running out to reach a deal to avoid the U.S. government's first ever default.
How much sand is left in that hourglass? Several Wall Street banks say the federal government is sitting on enough extra cash to pay its bills for just a few days after the August 2nd deadline, but that's of little comfort to many Americans.
Well, I worry about what it'll do to interest rates. I think about that.
It's like a weight hanging over your head. You know it's going to fall one of these days, but you try not to think about it.
I think it means I need to be concerned for my children's future.
Voices from around the nation on what the debt stalemate means. You can weigh in as well at 877-8MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. Down in Alabama, the largest county in that state has laid the groundwork for filing its municipal bankruptcy, and it would be the largest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history. Jefferson County, which includes the city of Birmingham, is more than $3 billion in debt because of a sewer system program and the bonds it floated that all went wrong.
First responders to the World Trade Center site on 9/11 do not qualify for extra health benefits or compensation if they have or get cancer. A federal review says there's no evidence that dust and smoke at the site causes cancer. That ruling also applies to people who lived near Ground Zero at the time of the attacks. And it's often said whoever controls Kandahar controls Afghanistan. Well, there's an escalation in the battle for that city this morning when a suicide bomber killed the mayor. That's the third high-profile assassination in Kandahar just in the past month. Officials say the bomber detonated explosives hidden in his turban when the mayor was shaking his hand. The Taliban has claimed responsibility. 2 weeks ago, you'll remember, President Karzai's powerful half-brother was killed in the same city.
Norway's intelligence chief is telling our partner the BBC that Convest gunman Anders Breivik acted alone during last week's mass killings that left 76 people dead. In the past hour, Britain became the latest nation to recognize the Libyan rebels as that country's legitimate government. And Oregon Democrat David Wu is the fourth congressman to resign this year over a sex-related controversy. His decision to resign came yesterday. Asian markets are mixed. European indices are down. Futures are down, although they've been mixed. They're down, not down by much. They've been bouncing around all morning. The Dow gets underway at 12,501. The S&P opens at 1,331. The NASDAQ opens at 2,429. Gold, though, is a little bit on fire, up well over $1,600 an ounce, about $1,622 the last time I checked. And oil is floating there around $99 a barrel. Coming up this hour, could we be witnessing the decline of American Sign Language? It's crucial to the notion of deaf culture. We're going to talk about technological developments that are making ASL more obsolete and how that's affecting schools for the deaf around the country. Also, on the debt ceiling debate, is the U.S. if the U.S. defaults on August 2nd, how does it affect the rest of the world? We're going to talk about that later in the hour. As always, we want to hear your voice. What do you personally stand to lose or gain if that deadline passes? 877-8-MY-TAKE. But we begin with setbacks for Latinos and blacks. A Pew study yesterday has some very disturbing statistics. What's the political fallout?